This is an ABC podcast.
This is Neat and Footy with Sam Wykes and Jinirao Arona on ABC Radio Australia.
Hello to our Papua New Guinea friends and welcome everyone to Neesian Footy. It's episode 99 of the number one podcast for Pacifica footy news and stories in the rugby league and rugby union worlds. My name is Sam Wykes and with me is my Cook Island Koi, Tinirao Arona T. 99.
Episode 99. Geez, that went quick.
I know. We raised the bat on Monday.
Next Monday. What do you reckon? We give each other a gift?
Yeah, what do you got for me? I've given you plenty.
I'll give you one of your bucket caps that you gave me.
return the favour.
But kia ora to all our listeners. Final footy is here. Geez, we've got some big games happening this weekend. Today on our show, there won't be any Sala Tonga Tuki because she played a game last night. But we do have my fellow Cook Island representative, Kiana Takairangi. She'll be joining us to cover last night's NRLW game and also the season ahead. So looking forward to that chat. We'll also have Totai Kefu, darling from Japan. Hopefully he doesn't cut out like he did last week, and he will cover the Pacific Nations Cup semifinals. So looking forward to that chat as well.
Yeah, looking forward to some more Japanese stories from the big man as well. He's always good for a laugh and a one-liner, so stick around and tune in for that one.
Hello guys, it's Cassie Staples here from the Cronulla Sharks team, and you're listening to Neesian Footy.
Yeah, T, as always, let's kick off with finals. Oh, no, not as always, because it's finals have just started. Let's kick off with the finals preview and go through each game and, man, give us an Indonesian player and just your thoughts and the mindset into the teams leading into the finals.
I'm actually going to start with some news
before
we head
us
to the finals. I know there's four games we'll dive deep into, but there has been some Indonesian footy players that have been rewarded the best player of their club for this season. Some of those clubs that have been eliminated from the NRL regular season has had their presentations, and I just want to give a big shout out to these three players. So the St. George Illawarra Dragons, their player of the year was Samoan Jaden Sua. He was unbelievable this year, you know, playing in that back row, just an absolute animal, really led the way for the Red V. And the Gold Coast Titans, another Samoan player, Keanu Kini, mate, he's rapid. He got player of the year. He played fullback. He reminds me of Jaden Suafalongo down at Melbourne. They just got that youth about them, that electric energy. So congratulations to Keanu. And for the Bulldogs, your big man, I know they're still in the season, so they've had their presentation early, but the big Fijian, Viliami Kikau, has got their player of the year. So
that's just with the Dogs. Do you think, obviously you've got to plan these things in advance, do you reckon they were planning not to make finals footy? That's why they had to have their one early?
That is a great question, Sammy. Yeah. A great question.
You just don't put a presentation night, like obviously 2 weeks in advance. So well done to the commercial team for anticipating them not being there. They had faith in their team.
I'm not saying it, but as a player, I actually enjoyed those presentations because there's a few cold beverages that you get to share with your teammates, and it's a nice night for the ladies as well, for your women, so they get to enjoy each other's company. But I bet you there was no schooners for the Bulldogs team this week when they booked it in.
Big game.
They have a huge game against Manly, but I'll start with Panthers versus Roosters. A huge game tonight, held at Penrith. Now, the Panthers, they have the return of the number one NRL player, Nathan Cleary. He's coming back from a shoulder injury. The Roosters, now they have Dom Young and Daniel Tupou coming back on the wing, and also Lindsay Collins and Nat Butcher. So that means Mark Nawanganitawase, who had an outstanding debut last week, and Junior Ponga, they'll be replaced on the wing. And then the big man, Bid, how old was he? 19? Dila Selva'a, the big 19-year-old, who had another great debut. He'll be stepping aside for this game. But I'd expect Nathan Cleary to be copping some shots with that shoulder. You know, the Roosters would go direct, try and challenge that shoulder, knowing how much weight that he carries for the Penrith Panthers. And hopefully, you know, when that happens, it's time for Jerome Luai to step up and start help, like sharing that load and directing the team as well. So I'm really looking forward to that battle. Yes, the Roosters are missing a few players, Sam Walker, Brendan Smith, Victor Redley, but I think their back five, you know, they've got a big back five that will go direct. But yeah, I think it's going to be a huge game for the Roosters. But the big one for the Panthers, they're calling it the last ride for a few of these boys, Jerome Luai, James Fisher-Harris. It's their last game at Penrith Stadium as well before they get the big stadium redone next year, because next year they'll be playing out of Parramatta Stadium. So last game at Penrith, the last ride for the boys. I reckon they are going to be hard to beat.
When I think about these type of games, I love thinking about the preparation and the messages that are being said throughout the week, knowing that Nathan has his shoulder injury and it probably will be touched on. But when I think back to the grand final when Cooper Cronk had that scap injury and you thought, man, just drive that traffic straight at him, but it seemed like Melbourne didn't do that. Do you reckon it's a massive talking point throughout the week to say this is our plan? We're going to go at clear. We're going to test him early and draw more of your focus towards that? Or is it still like, hey, this is the opportunity, but we've still got to do this, this, and this right?
I think they address it. They do get after it, but they don't go away from their game plan. So it's just maybe just one addition to their game plan where instead of running to the middle, let's target that one play at the shoulder, send Angus Crichton and challenge that shoulder, but then stick to the game plan. So yes, they would have addressed it, but then it's don't go away from their game plan, the Roosters.
Last one here then, Spencer Linu. He was quoted on radio just saying, there's one thing knowing how the Panthers play, but it's another thing trying to stop them. How much of an influence is he going to have with the Roosters in prepping the boys on what's going to be coming at them in finals footy from the Penrith Panthers?
Yeah, great question. I think when it comes to Spencer, he will be more focused on his game and what he can add to the Roosters instead of trying to focus so much on the Panthers. It'll be like, okay, how can I add my value to what the Roosters bring to the game? So, yeah, I think that he'll be focusing on his game. In the other top four match, we have Storm taking on the Sharks down in Melbourne. Now, the Storm missing Sua Fa'alongo, so he came off he had a hamstring injury last week, and Ryan Pappenhausen, he returned, so he'll be starting at fullback. And the Sharkies have Oregon Kafusi, you know, coming, and he'll be starting for the Sharks. So one thing I want to address is that the Sharks have done it before this season. So in May, they went down to Melbourne and they beat the Storm 25-18. So it has been done before. I think, you know, when it comes to the Storm or playing the Storm, you got to go on that mindset of how do you shift the Storm from playing their style of footy? Because we've seen it all year. Once they get into that groove, once they play their style, geez, they're hard to stop. We've seen Xavier Coates scoring a number of tries in that corner, but that's off the back of their go forward, and then they've got that big three that just know how to score points. But I think the pack is important in this one. We've got Big Nelson Asofa Solomona starting for the Storm, taking on Oregon Kafusi. Off the bench, we've got Fiji and Tui Kamikamitha versus our man Samoan Royce Hunt. So they'll be going at it. But the Sharks also have a secret weapon, Siosifa Talakai, coming off the bench, making a huge impact. So another game to really, really look forward to.
The Melbourne Storm, it blows my mind how clinical they are with continually making finals footy. I think the only time they haven't made finals footy is during the salary cap when they got all their points ripped off. But since then, I think it's 2011, 14 straight years of just making finals footy. And they just know how to get there, know how to prepare well, even if it is a new team, because they've had their spine ripped out plenty of times with players and experience, but yet they just continue to turn up.
Yeah, we said Craig Bellamy a couple of weeks ago that he won his 400th NRL game, and I think it was 2003 when he started coaching down at the Storm. You've seen Cameron Smith, Billy Slater, and Cooper Cronk, their dynasty. And then once they left, it was like, okay, can they keep up with it? Well, then they just replaced them with Harry Grant, Jerome Hughes, Cameron Munster, and now Ryan Pappenhausen. So that factory that they have there, I'm pretty sure they'll be preparing for the next, for when they leave, and then for the next generation as well. So, you know, they've led the way in the NRL for a number of years. In another game, we have the Cowboys versus the Knights. So the Knights just scraping into the top eight. They are traveling up to Townsville. Apparently, they've got a private chartered plane that will send them direct to Townsville to prepare for this game. But I just think the Cowboys, geez, they've been playing some good footy. And when they are on, they are hard to beat. They're a big threat. I said on Monday that they're my smoky. When you just look at their lineup, you know, you got Valentine Holmes, who's won a premiership for the Sharks, who's played in big games. You've also got Jason Tomololo, who's one of their leaders, who's, you know, played at the highest level in our game for a number of years. Then you've got young players like Helam Lukey, Jeremiah Nanai, Murray Taulangi. Geez, the list goes on when it comes to this Cowboys team. And off the bench, you know, Kulikefu, Fine Feuyaki. I reckon they just got that pack to really get after this game. And I think they'll win quite convincingly. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I think it'll come down to, in my eyes, goal kicking. And Valentine Holmes apparently is like 80% from the sidelines, from both sidelines, just kicking at 80%. So if it comes down to that and he's kicking pretty much everything, the Knights are going to have to score tries, like a lot of tries, to be able to, you know, make up that difference, because we know the Cowboys have plenty of points in them. I think they get it done up there.
One thing for the Knights, though, they do have one of the best players in the world, Kalen Ponga. So if they can, if the Cowboys can wrap him up, I'm pretty sure they'll come
pony.
Out the win. And in the final match on Sunday, we have Bulldogs taking on the Sea Eagles. 2 weeks ago, the Sea Eagles beat the Bulldogs 34-22. Last week, the Bulldogs lose to the Cowboys, and it was quite a dominant performance from the Cowboys. Now, there are some worrying signs for the Bulldogs. I think when the Sea Eagles took on the Bulldogs a couple of weeks ago, they went direct with their big men. Big Taniela Paseka, Josh Aluai, Ethan Bullimore, Matthew Lodge. These big bodies are just going direct. And on the back of that, you've got Haumole Olakau'atu, and then Daly Cherry Evans, one of the masterminds in our game, just to direct and score points. So I think they're going to be, Manly are going to be hard to beat in this one. But when you've got a leader like Stephen Crichton, who really steps up for the Bulldogs, lifts, I reckon he just, him having in that team, every player lifts 10-20% each. And when you put them together, like collectively, that team is, you know, they raise to a higher standard. So he'll have a big job. Viliami Kikau, you know, going up against Haumole Olakau'atu, he'll want to prove a point as well. So I'm really looking forward to these two really getting after this game.
Yeah, you're so right about those influential players in big games like this. You know, when you're lacing your boots up, you're putting on the jersey and you look left or right and those players are there, it just gives you a lot of confidence. So I think the Bulldogs are in for a big game, and being a Bulldog supporter, I'm riding all the way home. So hopefully they get the W.
Well, I know it's going to be crazy scenes if they do win on Sunday, but that is it for NRL. Now, remember, you can hear every NRL game live on ABC Radio Australia, including these semi-finals this weekend. Now let's head over to Rugby Union. What do you got for us, Sammy?
Yeah, good stuff, T. Outstanding. Well, we're going to start with some news around Super Rugby. Their format is out, obviously with the Rebels not being involved in Super Rugby anymore. The format does change, so it's going to be 11 teams. No one's replacing the Rebels.
So the 2025 format, the schedule for Super Rugby has just been released.
For next season, yeah.
For next season.
So 11 teams, so no one's replacing the Rebels. They still play 14 games each. Last season, or the seasons before as well, it used to be a top eight, and now they've moved to top six for that one, and it is a confusing final series that seems to be clear as mud. But when I get my head around it, I'll be able to explain it a bit better next week. But all I know is that I've got 7 trips planned to Fiji, and that's all I really care about. Where in the season, I'm not sure, so we'll have to wait for the draw to come out, or maybe even more if they make if they make that top 6 and they get a home final. And with the rejig of the format of semi-final footy, Moana as well, I could be getting more trips in across the Pacific. So
with the Rebels out, how many Australian teams do we have? We've got the Reds, we've got Waratahs, we've got four.
Four. The Force as well.
And then, is it 4 New Zealand teams?
5 New Zealand teams.
And then
Fiji
Moana.
And Moana. So there we go. So that's out. Looking forward to see how all this
pans
out.
Can you tell
us
how the top 6 works? Sorry?
No. I just
the final
said. We had a look at it before, and it just, you know, my brain does not function like that. I just saw moving parts on Instagram on their official page of 1 going up here, 2 going down there, 3 coming down.
There's got to be a simpler way to...
Just like the game, it's complicated. It's very complicated. Some other news as well. Swali'i, he's declared that he is going on the Wallabies spring tour, and, mate, they need him.
When does that start?
They go end of October right through November.
So they go through the grand final, won't be long after the grand final.
When does Pac Champs finish?
Pac Champs finished on is it November 3rd? Actually, Sammy, the finals are November 10th, so for the Pac Champs, so I don't think he'll be thinking about playing for Samoa. He'll be focusing on the Wallabies after they go as far as they can in this NRL season.
So, yeah, I'm sure he'll probably need a break too. He's played a lot of footy, but we'll see what happens when that unfolds closer to the date. Yeah, but hopefully that happens, because that's great news. I don't think it'll be too much of a distraction. Do you think that it's a distraction for the Roosters with those headlines?
No.
In other news as well, Koloni Sal, the Fijian Sevens coach, he's re-signed again and extended his contract to be their head coach. He did some amazing things and turned that Fijian Sevens team around after a string of probably disappointing losses throughout the World Sevens circuit, to then come so close to getting another gold medal at the Olympics. They end up getting silver. So it's good news that he will take on that role and try and take him to the next Olympics and win some more World Circuit titles. So that's great there. Last week we spoke about PNG being kicked out of the Oceania rugby and not being a part of World Rugby in that format. So the Oceania Rugby Executive Board has suspended, you know, Papua New Guinea. This decision was made after concerns were raised about how PNG rugby leaders were managing things. You know, they missed out on important events like the Women's Oceania Championships, Sevens qualifiers, and they lose their voting rights, so they can't join Oceania rugby events. And the big impact of this is the funding. When you're not part of these events, where's their funding coming from to create more opportunities to play in these type of tournaments? So there's a lot of things happening in the PNG rugby scene that need to be addressed. And we reached out to Frankie Pulitua. He did get back to me.
Oh, he did?
He did get back to me.
You were sulking the other day.
No,
saying,
I wasn't.
Oh, Frankie's not getting back to me.
Oh, look at him. Look at him. Don't be doing that. I just wanted a little love heart emoji, something just to... Not seeing
blue ticks. The blue ticks.
Nah, Frankie's a good friend of the show. He always gets back to us, but with no updates on what's happening after that. But it is a serious issue.
Oh, so he said there was no...
Nothing further to his original comments. But you know, the way he finished his comments with saying that they're going to help PNG Rugby to try and become a member again and work with them, but who knows how long that process will take.
You know what? Actually, I'm seeing Frankie tonight at the game. He'll be down at the Roosters-Panthers game, so I'll try and...
You want to get a scoop
Get
for
some
me?
Gold in there, yeah.
Yeah, just drop it in there. Sammy was being a sook on Nijin footy. You didn't give him any info.
Big Frankie Pulitua.
So, yeah, that's it. The disappointing news for PNG, but hopefully there's a way out of that and they find themselves back on, you know, the world stage playing some footy. We can't have you just all playing rugby league. I know you're a rugby league mad nation. Get there playing rugby union as well. The Wallaroos have announced their squad, and this is a big one. We see a new skipper come in with Siokopesi Palu. She is the number 6 Tongan, and she is now going to lead the Wallaroos team out for their game against
Ireland.
Ireland.
Oh, good.
So over there on their tour. And another one that I'm looking forward to, hopefully I get this name right, is Tambua Tuanaka Vandre. Oh, no, let me go that again. I've had a Maddie Elliott moment there. Tambua Tui Naka Vandra. Oh.
Keep going. You'll be all right.
Tambua Tui. Tambua Tui Naka Vandra. There we go. I got there in the end. She's playing number 8, Fijian, for the Wallaroos. So it's a bit of a new looked Wallaroos team. And we also see Faitala Moleka at 10, the Tongan Samoan, not the Samoan Tongan. So on that one. But there's a lot of Nijan players playing in this Wallaroos team, and I feel like it's a new look team for them on the way that they want to play. I feel like they've been dominated physically in their matches, and it just seems like with the team that they've selected, I feel like they're trying to bring up that physicality and dominate that area, set piece, breakdown, to unleash ball players like Faitala, because she hasn't had a number 10 start for a long time, been playing at fullback. So she gets to drive the ship there.
What's the nationality of the skipper?
Tongan.
She's Tongan.
She's Tongan.
Cousin? Related? Something?
Somewhere along the line. Have to be. If not me, my wife. But it's exciting news. Rugby, finally, there's a bit more happening in the last sort of 4 weeks. And to get more news, when we go talk to the great man, Totai Kefu.
Great work, Sammy. Well, before we get to Totai Kefu, hopefully he links in from Japan. There is no Salatonga Tuki today, but we do have Cook Island Moana representative Kiana Takarangi.
The Rugby League Preview.
Now comes the way to the right edge. Tonga Tuki!
With Salatonga Tuki.
Yes, Sala played last night, so no Sala today. Instead, we have a woman who has played in the NRLW with the Roosters, Knights and Sharks and has represented the Cook Island Moana at 2 World Cups, and hopefully again this year in the Pacific Championships, we have Kiana Takarangi. Welcome to Nijan Footy, Kiana.
Thanks, T. Thanks for having me on.
So we've seen that you've been doing some commentary for ABC Sport. How have you found that role?
Yeah, it's been a lot of fun. I've done 4 games now to date, and it is, I'm really enjoying it. It's something different. I've never done it before, but the boys Andrew Moore and John Gibbs are looking after me and making me feel at home, so it's been really, really good fun so far.
From one fellow commentator to another, I made plenty of mistakes on live TV there, just on when to come in and mumbling my words and not knowing what to do and just standing still, and hopefully Clarkie took over. But what bit have you found the hardest about commentating?
Yeah, I feel you there. I think the trickiest bit, because I've been on the sideline, there's the two boys in the box, and I find the hardest bit is trying to say something different to what they've already said. So you've got to be, really quick with like your thinking, and again, just trying not to repeat something that's already been said by two other people. So that's probably the biggest challenge. But last night I was out there at the Tigers Dragons game, and it was terrible conditions. So just trying to keep hold of an umbrella and a microphone and, do the rest. Pretty tricky as well.
We'll touch on that game shortly, but in terms of your playing season this year, who are you playing for?
Yeah, so I've moved over to the South Sydney Rabbitohs in the Harvey Norman competition. We've had a bit of an up and down season. We have our last game this evening, but we won't make finals. So, the year's flown by. And I just can't believe it's already done.
Playing in the Harvey Norman and then doing the sideline commentary and not being a part of the NRLW this year, is it hard to watch from the sideline like that and not being a part of that environment? Or are you enjoying the experience of seeing the footy at a different angle?
Yeah, a bit of both, to be honest. I wanted to be in the NRLW this year. I didn't get picked up, and I was pretty disappointed because I didn't have a great year last year at the Sharks. But in saying that, with moving to South, my goal for the year was just to try to enjoy playing some good footy again. And I'm happy with how I played at the Bunnies, although we've had a bit of an up and down season. I feel like I personally played as well as I can. And, I've been just trying to control what I can control. And I'm happy with that. And the commentary has been really, really enjoyable as well. Although I'm not on the field, it's nice to be there on the sideline and, you know, still kind of keeping in contact with the girls. And yeah, it's disappointing, but I'm enjoying where I'm at as well at the same time.
And with the Cook Island Moana team coming up in the Pacific Championships, has there been any news about the team getting together? Are you looking forward to that campaign?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's one of the highlights for me with my footy is playing for the Cook Islands. I love the camps that we go into, and we have started to speak about, you know, the team and getting together a week before the game in Fiji. So, yeah, I'm really looking forward to that campaign. Hopefully we can get a win against Fiji in that first game, because then we'll get a shot at either Tonga or Samoa, which would be unreal.
Oh, that's awesome. I know me and Sammy are trying to find our way over there. So
getting closer,
we can touch base and watch you do your thing. But you mentioned you're at the game last night, Sala Tonga Tuki's team, the West Tigers, taking on the Dragons. It was awful conditions. You would have been sitting underneath an umbrella, but you had front row seats to the game. How did you find the game?
Yeah, I did. Yeah, as you said, the conditions were terrible. The first half was just full of errors. It was tricky trying to add input from the commentary point, because there's only so many times you can say the girls just need to hold the ball to get the ball. The first half was a bit rough, but the conditions were a lot better in the second half. For me personally, I'm really happy that the Tigers finally got a win, because it's been a rough season for them so far, going 0-7. But yeah, really good game for them last night. They started really strong. They had the win behind them and they took advantage of that with a really strong first half. So I was really happy for them being able to hold on and get their first win of the season.
Yeah, it was one of them games where they got off to a really good start, but looking at their past games, they haven't done their best in the second half. So we're just hoping they could still come away with the win, knowing that they were going in halftime 14-0. So happy for Sala and the girls, because she's been through a rough time, seeing the roller coaster of a ride where she was, won that first State of Origin game for the Blues, losing the series, coming into the Tigers preseason again,
full of beans.
And then just slowly every week just chipping away. But I'm sure next time we see her, she's going to be on top of the moon.
Was Sala pretty excited after the game? Because as T said, we feel like we've rode the emotions with her, whether she's came on the show or not. Like, you know, just her face looked like it was banged up. But was she happy after the game?
Yeah, she was. I didn't get to speak to her, but I brushed past her briefly, and I think her and a few of the other girls, they were all crying. They were all over the moon.
Really?
You could see how much it meant to them to finally get a win, which is massive. I spoke to Botil Betty Walsh after the game, and she was another one. She was crying, and I interviewed her, and the first thing she said was a big F-bomb. She just couldn't believe that they had finally got their first win. So, yeah, it was a really good game. Sala killed it, as she always does. I feel like she's been so strong in the middle there for her team. Her and Christian Pio have been, unreal for their team. And I thought Leanne Tafunga was also very strong. Her performance last night, her try that she pretty much ran over Bobby Law. She looked like a bit of a speed hunt there, Bobby, for Leigh. She just palmed her off straight over the top of her. And it was really, really good to see our Pacifica girls killing it last night.
Yeah. Here's Tafunga from the scrum win, ran over the top of Bobby Law, and she's over to score. Oh, that's quality, Leanne Tafunga. She doesn't care about the conditions. She crashed through Bobby Law, and she's over to score the try. And the winless West Tigers get the first two tries of the game. This one comes after 21 and a half minutes from another Dragons lost ball, and it's West 8 St George Illawarra nil. Leanne Tafunga scores the try.
Was that you screaming in the background?
Yeah.
No, that's awesome stuff. Happy as for the Tigers girls. Now, looking ahead to the rest of round 8, what game of the round are you looking forward to?
Yeah, I think tomorrow there's a massive game with the Broncos and Sharks coming together. Obviously, Sharks coming off the back of a big loss last week. They're going to be determined to try to find some form again after going 6 in a row unbeaten. So I think that's going to be a good game, especially with Broncos. They're playing some really good footy after a slow start to the season. I reckon they're probably the team to beat at the moment. So I reckon that's one to watch. The other game I'm looking forward to is the grand final rematch between the Titans and the Knights.
That is huge, the Broncos versus Sharks game. Will we see Mele Hufanga versus Tiana Penetani? Are they on the same side?
Yeah, I don't know if they both are on the same side. I know Tiana's on the left.
I think they both play left, sorry. But yeah, hopefully they meet in the middle.
Right. I know, Battle of the Tongan Princesses. Yeah, it's going to be a good one. They've both been playing unreal, especially like Tia thinks she's had a great season again. So, yeah, that's going to be an unreal matchup.
And the Knights versus Titans, who do you think wins this one?
I think Titans are going to struggle. They've got another few key players missing. Lauren Brown, probably the biggest one. She's been really good for the Titans this year. So I think they'll miss her. Obviously, they lost Shante Ratu earlier in the year to ACL. So she's been a massive out for them. But I know the Knights, after losing last week against the Broncos, they're going to be coming out firing to just cement their position in the top four.
Yeah, it's looking like the Titans may miss out on the top four. Favourites going in, possibly Sharks, Broncos, Roosters and the Knights. I know Shelley Long, she's pretty confident that the Cowboys will scrape in there as well. So that will mean maybe someone's going to have to miss out if the Cowboys do. But who do you think will win this season and why?
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think, I thought Roosters were looking to be the winners of the season at the start. Obviously, losing Jessica Sergis is a big out for them, but I feel like they're still playing some really good footy. So Roosters potentially, again, Broncos, I think they're just playing some really good footy at the moment as well. They're really strong across the board as well. So they're probably my favourites. But then again, Sharks have played some really good footy. When they're on, they'll be hard to beat as well. They've got some unreal individual talent within the Sharks team. So, yeah, they're my top three. I don't know who's going to take it out, though. With the girls' game, I feel like it can kind of go to anyone.
Do you think it's one where every year, Roosters and Broncos, it seems like everyone just tips them because they've got all the stars in their teams. And then, like the last 2 years, Knights have just come through and flown under the radar and then taken the premiership. So, and then last year we also seen the Titans make the grand final. Do you think that we could see something similar this year? Any Smokies potentially making the grand final and then, you know, maybe snatching that premiership?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't even think Newcastle looking as dominant as they have in the last couple of seasons. So I guess, yeah, typically you'd probably say Knights are up there, but I don't think they can do it this year, which is a bit of a big call. But yeah, in terms of other Smokies, I don't know. I can't see Cowboys doing it. Sorry, Shelley.
Actually, and before we move on, what are your thoughts on Bulldogs and Warriors when they enter the NRLW season next year?
Yeah, I think it's really exciting. It's good that the Warriors are coming back into the competition, and under Ron Griffiths, I think the excellent coach, I've been trying to get him to come and help us out at the Cooks, which he's been interested in. I'm not sure if it's over the line yet, but that's in talks. But the Bulldogs are looking really good. They've signed some unreal middles in Teka Katoa and Alexis Tolunea, who both had outstanding games last night for the Dragons. So, yeah, they're shaping up to look quite good. It's going to be interesting to see how many of the Kiwi girls move back home as well to rejoin the Warriors, because a few of them have already signed and they're looking pretty good as well.
Belmore's not far from you, is it, Key? Just down the road? Just down the road. Yeah, hopefully we can see you on the list somewhere there, playing for my Mighty Doggies. Hey, we've mentioned Sala, Tiana, Mele Hufanga, plenty of stars out there. Are there any other superstars in the making that you've noticed in their first year from our Nation talent that have surprised you, or you feel like, yeah, they're going to have a big future in the game?
Well, actually, I'll give a big mention to Jasmine Tupou-Wichman, She's gone from our Souths team up to the Cowboys, so she'll be up there with Shelley. She's named to make her debut for the Cowboys this weekend. So she's done really well for us at Souths this year, and I was devastated when they took her because she's been great for us. But, yeah, really excited for her. Hopefully she gets a run this weekend and has a good game.
That's Shelley mentioned her on Monday. She's, I said the Witchman last name's a famous Cook Island last name. So looking forward to watching her hopefully make her debut for the Cowboys. Well, thank you for your time. We appreciate you covering for covering Salah.
Seamless, absolute seamless.
Yeah, you seem a natural. You're welcome anytime back on Nesian Footy, and all the best this year in the Pacific Championships. And hopefully we'll see you in Fiji.
Yes, see you there.
Culture shock.
Yes, last week, Sammy, I took you on a great journey in Pompeii. Brought you down to one of my rabbit holes I like to go down. And
is it Nat Geo? Nat Geographic?
Yeah, about how segment? These big giants built this city with these huge rocks, and no one knows where they come from, how they got there. Well, they know where they come from. It was not where they come from, a long, far away place. And giants picked them up and build the city.
Yep, in you Pompeii. Said it last week. It went in one ear and out the other, and you've said it again, and it's gone in the other ear and back out the other one straight away.
Today we're off to Kiribati, and what do you have for us, Sammy?
Yep, I went back through my notes to find out what I said last time about Kiribati, and
was it the bat suit?
No, that was Palau.
Oh.
That was Palau. still want to try that anyway, by the way. But Kiribati, it was the threat of the rising sea levels. Do you remember that?
Oh, that interesting culture shock when you're saying that the water was rising.
And this threat of them losing their island.
Yeah.
Just in addition to that, I'm just going to follow up with that with my culture shock. Did you know that because of that, they bought 6,000 acres of land in Fiji to relocate, just in case this does happen?
Did they?
Yep.
6,000 acres.
6,000 acres.
How big's Kiribati?
Probably roughly that.
Is there enough room
enough
on 6,000
for all them to
for
live?
Everyone.
Yep.
True.
So they bought it off the Uniting Church for $3.8 million.
Is that all it cost?
Yeah, back in 2014. So I'm sure that they've made it. There's a capital gain on that for Kiribati as well. When you think about it from that point of view, Fiji's gone through the roof with land value.
Does that mean if they say that, hopefully it doesn't, but they do have to relocate, do they change the name of that land to Kiribati?
There's a lot of questions, not too many answers I have right now, but they've, is it like the consulate where they own that bit of land and they raise the flag on their 6,000 acres? But hopefully it doesn't. We pray that it doesn't. But just in case, Fiji's going to house Kiribati.
Or was it a investment opportunity?
There's got to be a tax write-off somewhere there. But that's my culture shock
for
this week.
Sammy, where are we off to next week?
All right, Sam, I'm going to change it up a little bit here. We have gone island hopping. And since Australia has a big Pacifica diaspora, do you like that?
Spell that.
Diaspora. That's all I've got.
Diaspora.
Diaspora. we've got a big Pacifica diaspora here. And I want you to come up with something that's, I don't know, give me a fact here about what some of our Pacifica people do here in Australia.
Yeah, thanks for throwing me that one, mate. We could have saved it for the week after when it was your turn.
No, you're all over this because your mum's good with all this stuff.
I've got all these footy finals to review.
I've got one game.
Now I've got
pack champs, and now I've got to go to Japan.
And
so I'll miss
about 2 minutes of review, and you send me this one. I'll give it a crack, though.
The Rugby Union Preview.
Kefu. Totai Kefu!
With Totai Kefu.
Yes, joining us every week to chat all things Rugby Union is one of the greatest Wallabies of all time, a Queensland Reds and Ikaletahi legend, Totai Kefu. Kefs, we had some technical difficulties last week, so we've had to dial in via the landline. Haven't done that for a long time, but how is it over there in Japan?
Yeah, it's been good, mate. We're actually in camp at the moment. We're in Kochi, which is a little island south of Japan, and we're in the mountains. Look, funny story the other day, mate. I was in the onsen, and a bush pig actually came past snorting and nearly jumped in the onsen with me. So I got out pretty quickly, and so did everyone else. But the people at reception said the odd pig cut does come around and jump in the onsen with you. So,
hey, Kess, was there any thoughts of catching the pig and putting it on the spit?
I thought of that afterwards, but not these wild ones. Sorry.
Right, the Japanese onsens, you know, the hot baths that they're famous down south in Japan around Oita area and stuff like that. Like, again, Japanese culture, are you immersing yourself by having your birthday suit and getting amongst it big Kef styles?
Yeah, I am. I'm getting used to seeing 70-plus old men bending over in front of me and just walking around nude. So that takes a little getting used to. But, no, it's great. I love a tub at the end of the day. Nice and relaxing.
Hey, Kev, do you manage to get back home to Australia before the season starts?
Yeah, I will. I'll have a week off, I think, in the middle of October. So, look, I'm really looking forward to that. But, plenty of work to do here first.
Yep, that bank account each month is the reminder when you are homesick, mate, so you know it all too well. But let's dive straight into the footy, the Pacific Nations Cup. Semi-finals locked in. They're going to be in Japan. Oh, they are in Japan. Let's go through, you know, one Tonga's performance against Fiji, and we'll talk through their fifth place playoff.
Yeah, look, I think a bit disappointing for Tonga. I mean, I didn't think they were going to beat the Fijians. Early on, they showed a bit of promise. Lotu Enisi scored some, kept them in the game, carried the team on his back, basically. Scored two individual tries. I think what's just letting Tonga down, their set piece was woeful. The line-out especially was horrible. So moving into the fifth, sixth place playoff, you would hope that they would fix that up. But, look, disappointing so far. I think this is a game they can win. Canada, you know, we've beaten Canada the last four times we've played them, so we should move into this game with a little bit of confidence. I'm not exactly sure who's playing yet, so there might be some issues over some injuries or delaying the naming of the team. But, look, I think it's going to be a good game between them. It's certainly a game that Tonga can win.
Yeah, look, as a coach, how would you get the boys up for a game like this? Do you focus on a certain area, or are there any certain things that you would do as a coach?
With the last couple of games, some heavy losses, you think of one thing that you could fix. Now, that could be the set piece, that could be errors. You know, you wouldn't try to fix too many things. So, look, for me, the set piece is probably an area of concern. We've got to win our own ball, especially in the line-out. That's bread and butter stuff for any international team. It wouldn't be that hard to motivate the boys. You know, we've lost the last three games, so I think motivation would still be at a high for these boys individually. And to finish off the PNC with a win would be great.
You know, when you speak about focusing on one area of the game, normally that does happen. You get that bit right, and then all the other stuff falls away. In preparation for the week as a coach, how much time do you actually put towards focusing on that one point and not really worrying about the other stuff?
Well, it depends what it is. And being a forward myself, the set piece is, I think, crucial to any success of any rugby team. So, look, every time I train or plan out a session, a big chunk of that session goes to set piece just because it's bloody important. It's a source of your possession. And you can really launch off a really good set piece. So, look, the line-out hasn't been operating as best as it could. I know there's been some injuries, but you would think that they would be putting a lot of time and effort into the line-outs this week.
Yeah, I'm sure the boys will do well. Now, looking forward to the semi-finals. We have the first one, Fiji versus USA. What are you looking forward to seeing in this game?
Oh, look, Fiji looked fantastic. I thought even against Tonga, they were in second gear. You know, they got to an early lead after 5 minutes. I think it was 14-0 or 12-0. And then they kind of fell asleep for a period there. Look, I see Fiji too strong for USA. I think they're big back. I see Salawa's come back into the back row. Their forwards are just big, dynamic, quick. You know, every time you see this team play, you don't know. The forwards and backs can interchange anytime they want. So, look, I expect CG to be too good for USA. But I think USA has made huge ground on some of these teams over the last 12 months. So they're going well as well.
Yeah, the Fijians have made a lot of inroads, you know, being clinical in all parts of the game now, not just the one-trick pony of turnover attack and that flair. Like, their driving more has been outstanding, and Tonga had no answers for it last week. But I want to just talk about combinations. We spoke about Isaiah Armstrong-Ravulo playing fullback, normally a 10, with Caleb Munt still at 10. Their combinations, when you watch the Fijians play, what do you feel like their best combinations are with, you know, having like a ball player at the back and having flair on the wing? Like, where do you see that?
Oh, look, I think with any Pacific Islander team, having that combination and experience in combination between the halves is absolutely vital. And that's one thing Tonga don't have. We don't have a quality 5'8". We don't have a quality number 9 who plays at a consistently high level. Whereas you look at Fiji and Samoa, they're starting to get some really good quality combinations. I'm a big fan of this Caleb Munts and Lomani. They're gonna build some combinations moving forward towards the next World Cup. Armstrong, Ravula and Lomani, they're there in the drawer. So they're quite a formidable combination. But to have two quality 5'8s in Fiji's team is absolutely fantastic for them. And I can see these three rotating around over the next, you know, couple of years to see and be used to Fiji's best use.
And looking forward to the next semi-final, Samoa versus Japan. What are your thoughts on this one?
I like this matchup, boys. I actually think it can go either way. You know, Eddie's got the team playing really, really quickly. And, you know, that game where Samoa played Fiji, they were in it till halftime. So, look, this is going to be really interesting. I think for Samoa to be really successful in this game, they probably need to slow the tempo down and control the tempo, maybe go more towards their set piece and just try and take that momentum away from Japan.
Being in Japan, is there much chat about this rugby game happening in-country?
No, it's been pretty quiet. I have been in the bush in the country.
Chasing balls.
Trying to steer clear of wild pigs. Look, amongst the team, there's a little bit of chatter. We get home, actually, on Sunday. So we should land before the game starts. So all the boys are looking forward to watching that. But I think next week, so all the games are in Chichibu, I think, this week, which is in Tokyo. I think next week the final will be in Hanazono, which I think a few number of the boys will attend.
Yeah, in Osaka and Hanazono, the home of the Kintetsu Liners, your home ground, Kef. That'll be a really good game over there. Just in terms of the conditions, you know, the game's been played over in Japan. Samoa have, you know, played all their games in the island, in that island style of footy where it's muggy, heavy track, trying to slow down the Japanese style of footy. Do you reckon that's going to have a big impact on all the Pacific Nation teams playing over there in different conditions?
No, I think the Samoans and the Tongans are used to it. Japan will be used to it too. Eddie would have these boys fit as a fiddle. But yeah, you're right. I think Samoa have to slow Japan down. You know, when you go to kick the ball, kick it out. A few fake injuries here and there always help. But
speaking like a true veteran. Japan,
there's no school like the old school, hey?
Exactly, mate. You know, you got to give the boys a rest. Just a fake injury.
What was your best fake injury?
Oh, geez, calf. That's the old man's injury. Always got me out of training.
The baby cow.
The calf strain.
Yeah.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah, about 2 weeks, be right for game day. Perfect, Kef, mate. All right, we know you're on a busy schedule over there in the mountains and you've got to get to your next meeting, but really appreciate your time and making the effort to jump on Nation Footy.
Love you, boys. Absolute pleasure again, as normal. And hopefully, if I don't get eaten by a wild pig, I'll see you next week.
You enjoy those Japanese spa days, mate.
Yes, I will.
Quiet, boys and girls. It's Professor Paulo.
A.K.A. Sefa Paulo, giving us a question each week. And the winner or the one who gets it right, me and Sammy, we keep a score. The score is, Sammy's on 14, I'm on 11.5, is that correct?
Yep, that is correct.
The loser at the end of the season has to buy a fancy lunch for the other. So, Seth, Professor Paulo, what do you got for us?
We are at the business end of the NRL season. Finals, week one. Penrith versus Roosters, Storm versus Sharks, Cowboys versus Knights, Dogs versus Manly. My question for you today is, which team has the most Pacific players represented, including the 18th man for this week's finals games?
I am going to go with the Cowboys, just off the top of my head.
I was thinking the same thing, because they got heaps because of all the names you rattled off in the preview.
And
there's a lot there.
Penrith have lost a fair few over the few years with RP, Viliami, Stephen Crichton, Spencer Lenu. Next year, Jerome Luai, Sonia Turuva.
Well, I can't go the same as you. So you going Cows?
Yeah, I'll say the second would be
Manly. I'm going to go Manly.
Oh, really?
Manitongans in there. There's quite a few.
Can we do a second team as well then? Nah, I'll go Cowboys. But if a second team would be Roosters, if it's wrong, you choose to your second team.
My second team would be Panthers.
The answer to that question, and a close one and surprising, is the Roosters with 9 Pacific players, as Michael Jennings was the 18th man that tipped Penrith with 8.
There you go. I got it again.
Half. Oh, so how did you get it? You chose Cowboys.
Yeah, and then we said second team if we get the wrong Roosters. And
yeah, which is a half a point, not a... I got it right.
You got 10.
I got it right again.
So anyway, I got half a point. I'm on 12. Let's go to tipping comp.
You're a jerk when you win, eh? Or when you gloat. I love when you lose because you're a sook.
Let's get ready to rumble!
Knockout tipping time.
What's the score here?
Oh, I'll tell you right now, there's plenty of gloats in here from the Cook Island.
What's
cutie.
What's the score here? 39-30.
39-30 to Tinudo. I don't know.
All right, knockout tipping comp. We pick one team each week and we're not allowed to pick that team again for the rest of the season in the NRL and Super Rugby. Well, Super Rugby's finished, so we're picking a game in the Pacific Nations Championships. Is that what it's called? Yep.
Yep, that's the one.
Oh, Pacific Nations Cup.
I knew it. I was just testing you out.
Pacific Nations Cup.
Pacific Nations Cup. I reckon the game of the round, the closest round, the game will be Samoa and Japan. I reckon we go that semi-final.
Yep.
Who do you want to?
I'm going Japan.
Okay, I'm going to take Samoa with a start. Is that sweet?
Yep.
What do you reckon, 12? Half, 14?
I'll give you 12 and a half.
12 and a half start. All right, Samoa, I'm taking you on the 12 and a half start. So when you're there, no all-you-can-eat sushi train, no all-you-can-eat yakiniku, which is the barbecue meat, just preparation, performance. Control those two things so I can claw my way back.
Home field advantage, Japan. Come on, mate. Should have been smarter than that. Anyway, let's pick an NRLW team, Broncos versus Sharks. Where are you going?
I saw Tiana sitting next to Stacey Wacker on the couch for their
last night.
I feel like there's tried to get a gauge on the body language. Tiana, I'm gonna stick with my Koei for that Pacific Sports Show. I'm gonna go the Sharkies again.
Yeah, well, what if she was sitting next to Mele Hufanga? She wouldn't have that same aura. So I'm going Broncos.
Bro, she's staunch, but they call them sorties in Tongan. Soldier, she is.
Yeah, soldier until you come up against a barnstorming Mele
Hufanga.
On the
other side of the field. So don't worry about it, T. I got your back.
To wrap it up, we've got the NRL. Who you got?
I'll go to the Cowboys to beat the Knights.
Cowboys to beat the Knights. Great choice. I think that's a great one because you won't be able to pick them next week when they win. So I'm going to go Manly to beat the Bulldogs, and I'll pick Cowboys next week when they go through, or if they go through.
Beautiful table. That's a wrap for Nesian Footy Friday. Outstanding
episode
work.
Episode number 99.
Tune in for Monday because that's number 100. So
who we got on the show on Monday?
Fasasalu. She is the Wallaroos hooker, so from out Campbelltown. She is on, so make sure you tune in for that one. And remember, you can listen back to our Monday and Friday shows. Just search for Nesian Footy wherever you get your podcasts.
Ka kite.
This show was produced on the lands of the Gadigal people of the Eora Nation.